like Louis Armstrong. Play the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops, come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Jez.
G'day, Solution. How are you going? It's lovely to be with you from my house.
Yeah, instead of the car last week, but I'm glad you made it home. We had doubts given you at Werribee last week, or as what did the architect say afterwards? Live from the sewer? You're like Master Splinter. With us is Christina.
Good evening, Solution.
How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you.
It's good to hear. And with us is the correspondent.
Hello, Matt. How you doing?
I'm okay. Firstly, apologies. This is a little bit later than usually. That's because I was away for the weekend. So apologies for the lateness, and also apologies if I can't string sentences together.
What were you doing?
The usual stupid men's golfing and drinking.
Bonding,
that's right. But we've all, it's very typical of possibly men of yours and mine and Jez's ages. We talk a really good game, maybe go a little bit too hard too early, and then we're all tucked up in bed by 10.
Mate, it's commonly known as first night fever.
Yes. You're knowingly nodding your head.
Laughing a lot. Yes.
And laughing on mute, which doesn't help the podcast.
No, we've all been there. And that was me last week. So,
yes, but I did watch the game, and this is what I'll start with. It's kind of not really relating to the specifics of the game. I've seen a lot of close games, as we all have. Many spring to mind over previous years. I don't know I've ever been so stressed as I was during that last quarter because of the stupid way they were kicking and the continued points. And it just had this feel of just inevitability about what was going to happen. We were definitely going to lose that game because nothing was going right. It was one of those games afterwards we would have said, well, look, gee, just nothing went right. But yet somehow we won. But I have not been as stressed. I really wanted to just book myself into cardiology that night.
It was not an enjoyable game that last quarter. I certainly didn't jump up and down and get excited on the couch when the siren went. I was just like, oh, thank Christ, that's over.
Yep.
I think if you look at your feed or you look at comments back and forward with other people, it's like, fuck Draper, fuck Laverde, fuck yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Jez?
Now, last 5 minutes was totally unwatchable. It was just excruciating. But also, eat a bag of dicks, Tex Walker.
Yeah. 100%. How's his, like, he's throwing his head back, giving himself whiplash?
I think he got shot, didn't he? Wasn't there a sniper who shot him?
There was. Someone gave him like a pressure point in the back of his neck and he just snapped his head.
Looked like a car hitting a kangaroo.
Yeah, a little inside joke there. Jez may or may not have been killing native fauna in recent times. Well, speaking about the last play, the moment of controversy. Funny how they don't talk about any umpiring decisions all year. Umpiring mistakes are glossed over, and yet suddenly Essendon benefit from a decision, a non-decision. There were comments that Draper may have been pushed just before that. But suddenly we're getting the forensic treatment. We're getting the 10th degree. People are poring over it, debating it, and questioning whether the umpire cost them the game. Isn't this just typical Essendon hating? Correspondent?
Yep. Yeah, mate, it is. We sell papers where, so I think it's interesting. Well, I think you know how pathetic it was when The AFL came out with a clarification to say the free kick was missed, but on watching it, and there's two umpires within, what, 5 or 10 metres?
Yep.
And they blew the whistle relatively quickly because they didn't think it was holding the ball, right, from what they'd seen, and they wanted to ball it up quickly. So did they bother to ask the umpires what they felt? No.
And how's the salt been from the Adelaide fans?
Oh, it's been great, as Jez said.
But didn't they have, was it Adelaide that had a win, controversial win over Carlton or something, or Carlton had a controversial...
I think Adelaide's been stitched up a few times.
Yeah, they had a very controversial loss to the Swans late last year.
Suffering their jocks.
Yeah, that's right.
Solution, as you said, mate, if you watch the last 5 minutes, or let's say 2.5 minutes, there's half a dozen free kicks that were missed, and we know that happens all the time. So, you know, even around 2.5 ago when Hobbs was legged on the wing, and there's endless free kicks.
But even watching the Draper one live at the time, my heart was in my mouth, because you know sometimes when the umpires are going to pay or holding the ball, they pause, they wait,
yeah,
and they basically let the guy hang himself. That was verging on that. That was verging on that. But to the naked eye, at the time, and then I watched it again, it actually all happens very quickly. It's one thing to slow it all down and look at it from every angle, but the actual incident happens very quickly amongst so many players. I mean, everyone, I think, bar two players, was in the 50, and there was heaps of players around the ball. It, to the naked eye, doesn't look as anywhere near as bad as everyone's making it out. I think I've got to give the umpire the benefit of the doubt. I think he's looking through legs, he's looking through bodies, he's looking through players. And suck shit, Tex Walker.
I think next time Draper just needs to look like, if something happened or another player happens, it just, they've got to move their arms a bit and look like they're trying to get it out. That's probably the only thing. They've just got to go, can't get it.
And our teammates have to jump on him. I mean, we needed three guys jumping on him.
Yeah.
Well,
not just Tex.
You go, correspondent.
No, I said Lee Matthews is like, they pushed him in the back.
Yeah.
Free kick to Draper.
But also, can we just say, it's not a free kick. And no. I'll tell you why. How can laying on the ball be in possession?
I agree. That's what I thought.
How can you dispossess a ball that you lay on? You can't. Therefore, you're not in possession. He's not holding it. He's laying on it. Yeah. Show me in the rule where laying on the ball equates to holding it.
I don't disagree, mate.
All right. Well, moving on from that, I don't know where to go, so I guess we'll just do our usual and go to the awards and start talking about players. Jez, I'm going to give you the herd. You happy with that?
I am, but can I make another general game comment before we get into individuals?
Sure.
Essendon of last year would have dropped that match. We were behind. We had to come from behind twice away on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Essendon of last year would have dropped that, and I think it shouldn't be lost on anyone that we had to come from behind twice. You know, we were all over them first half. Should have been in front by 6 goals, whatever. Half time, whatever. We weren't. They headed us twice, and we had to claw back twice. And I didn't think we were going to get them, claw it back the second time. First time it was great. I didn't think we were going to get them back second time on their home decks. So I think that was a real big tick, regardless of how messy the last minute might have been or how unwatchable the last quarter might have been. I think it's a great feather in the cap to have won that one, because there's every reason why we would have going to drop that one.
I agree. That would have been a great way to sum up the game before moving to the next segment. But nonetheless, I agree. So for that, I'm going to give you the herd, because you haven't done one yet this year. You're going to get the herd and the Henneman. So you might as well just continue to hold the mic and keep going. But I agree.
You want me to do both?
Yep.
Both?
All right. For your non-attendance, correspondent had to do some heavy lifting last pod he came on because he'd been absent. So
okay.
Your turn.
Listeners can't see the photo that we've been blessed with just for a second there of the correspondent, but look at that.
Yeah, that's his court suit. That's the defendant right there.
Yeah, that's when you were doing some work for me, Jess.
All right, herd. I'm going to say two noms who are not real noms. They're not real noms for the herd, but I noticed them when I watched the replay. I want to give a quick shout to Nick Cox for his whole game, because I thought he did a whole lot of stuff that was not really noticed. It wasn't flashy, but he's just had such a good few weeks. Just getting his arm in here, a kick in there, a punch in there. Clever little uses of the ball. So I'll give him a quick shout.
Before you move on, what about that moment when he was holding off like a He-Man, as Lou Richards might have described him, holding off two opponents? It was like Nathan Lovett Murray when he was fighting the two Carr brothers. Very, very similar. He's got this, and this has been the basis of, I think, Harry Jones is sort of blossoming, basing it on the basics and doing the team things and doing the defensive things. And I think it's flowing into the rest of his game.
I just think we're, a few years ago when he burst onto the scene, he really did sort of burst, and he was doing some flashy things. He's not doing anything flashy now. He's just doing his job with a little sprinkle of cleverness. He's really impressing me. The other one I wanted to shout out was Hep. Hep didn't do heaps all night, from what I could see. But you watched that last quarter when we were under massive heat. He had two or three just enormous individual defensive efforts. And I guess you needed someone of his experience and his calmness and composure to be there in the right place at the right time. But he had a couple of fantastic moments in the last quarter, very important to the win. So they're the two noms that I wanted to get off my chest. They're not real noms for the herd. They're just people I wanted to mention. But I've got three noms. I thought Mackay was great. Keeping Tex Walker to a goal is a fantastic effort. And he was solid and strong and did his intercepting and used the ball well. And I thought he was great.
Drinks break.
No disagreement there from anyone.
The other nomination I've got was Calder's. On the night, I thought he was the best. When I went and watched the replay, I put someone else as the best. But Calder's, I don't know where he's got his foot skills from, but he's elite with his feet at the moment. He's hitting everything. He's hitting these long dart kicks. He's obviously at the coalface in and under. His tackling is insane. But it's not just the grunt. I think it's just that little bit of polish and class that he's got now with his ball use. He's had a stellar game, but I can't go past the skipper for the award. I thought early days when we were fumbling, we had so much fumbling, but Zeret, I thought, was just phenomenal, especially in the first half when everyone else was fumbling and falling over. He was clean as a whistle. So for me, I thought the captain deserved the award.
I can't argue, and I do think that we just underrate what he does each week. So even in this award, we tend to forget him just because he does it week in, week out. But he's definitely taken it to a new level as captain. Christina, do you want to shout out some players?
Your
fancy.
Mm-hmm.
How long you been on this podcast? How many years now?
Too long. I think Harry Jones. I think we'll call him out again. Just he actually kept us in the game with his goal kicking. When things dried up, he was getting the ball and doing his marks where he just runs from a diagonal position and somehow gets them, and doing all the hard work when some of the other forwards were struggling to sort of get possession. And
can I throw in a Harry note just before you move on to the next one? Also, in the last 5 or 10 minutes, Harry was enormous. He went behind the ball, down the back, and he just was everywhere. He was contesting everything. He nearly took a couple of marks, but at least he brought the ball to ground. He was huge in the last 5 minutes, deep in defence. Mm. So well done to him.
Mm. That's all I can really remember because I was coming out of anaesthetic. So I was a bit crazy for most of the game. So that's a bit more of the vibe of the game rather than really remembering specific details.
That's pretty funny, Christina, because Solution and I, we were getting deeper into anaesthetic.
Yeah, that's right. We're going the other way. Very good point. Yeah, and that haze, very familiar with watching, just living life through that haze, let alone watching football.
I think it's worth mentioning Daz, again, another solid performance. And who else was I thinking? Even Dersma to a degree, but, you know, again, it was the midfield, you know, allowed Merritt to do what Merritt did, and Parrish actually was probably better than... He was better than he has been.
And there's one star that we haven't mentioned yet.
Oh, Martin?
It's not a player. It's tackles. And Durham, you mentioned, like, 9 tackles, Caldwell 10, Hobbs 6, Stringer 5, Merritt 5, McGrath 5, Jones 4, Dersma 4, the list goes on. It was just a monster day for tackles. And although we were kicking so appallingly for most of the game, if we can replicate that tackling again, we'll talk about the upcoming game later, we'll win more games than we lose. Might even be top 4 chance, Jez.
Well, the top 4 spreadsheet's going to cop a bit of a whack this week because I actually thought we would win Anzac Day, and I'm feeling very pessimistic all of a sudden, so we might be one behind.
Okay. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Alwyn Davey, continue to like what I see.
It was good.
Limited opportunities, but yeah.
It just gives us something a bit different. I suppose, from Menzies, that he's willing to move up the ground a lot more, and he's chased down, had a few chase down tackles, which is just even the perceived pressure that he could bring helps, you know, turn the ball over, bring it into our favour. So I'm really glad that he's sort of taking his opportunities, and hopefully he gets better.
Right, so is this the point where we turn to the Henneman? Yeah. There's a lot of talk about this, probably less talk than there would have been if we had have lost, but players were in the firing line if you watched the socials.
Well, I'm going to disappoint. I'm going to break the constitutional rules. I've got one nomination only. And I'm,
you know, you're on thin ice, your podcast membership as it is.
And it was because I looked at this, I've got my notes as always, just in case I got the Henneman, and I've got my notes. It was a really, boring as it is, it was a good, you know, a whole team four quarter performance. There were very few weak links. Some had an off quarter, but there were very, very, very few weak links. But one player stood apart, and I was really sorry to. And there's literally no one else I could nominate. It would be mean to nominate anyone else. Sam Draper had an absolute mare. An absolute mare. And what appeared to me, to my eyes, doing the good old solution eye test on the night, quarter time, I made the comment to someone, how many times has Drapes fallen over? He just seemed to fall over all the time. So I went back and watched the first quarter again. He had zero possessions. He had two hit outs. And he fell over seven times.
That was a stat.
Is that a stat?
The Corville and Dean.
Yeah, so he's getting to the ball or getting to the contest or whatever, and the biggest, strongest guy in our team is falling over on his ass seven times. It was almost ironic that the last play of the game was Drapes on his ass on the ground.
It was ironic, yeah. And it won us the game. That's the irony.
I don't think I dare anyone to suggest that someone had a worse game than him.
No, not at all. He's it.
I actually had my sister and I had a very deep conversation about Essendon, and in particular Sam Draper. And her opinion is that all the players in the team have bought into this hard work ethic of working at the ball, going in, tackling, except Draper. It's like he's still playing on the mentality from last year that, oh, this is good fun, this is not bad, oh, what should I do now? Oh, I'll just smash the ball, that'll do. It doesn't look like he's actually thinking about what he's trying to do. And he's certainly, like, he should be able to take marks when he was in the forward line. Like, he wasn't, if he didn't get the ball served to him in the platter, he almost gave up. He didn't try and make a contest out of it.
He took a great mark in the last quarter, but he fucked the kick.
Well, yeah,
I was going to say he deserves a nomination for missing that goal, 25 metres out.
Wasn't Robinson Crusoe, though, let's be honest.
No, but I think you're right, Christina. He gives you the impression regularly that his brain isn't connected to the rest of his body.
Hmm.
The 50-metre penalty is in the same category.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I think you should podcast these D&Ms you have with your sister, Christina.
We don't have them very often.
I was gonna ask, was that when you were coming out of anaesthetic as well? Or?
Oh, it was the next day. So, you know, I was still a bit woozy.
So,
but, yeah.
What do we think? No, sorry. You go, mate.
No, I was just going to say he had, you know, back quickly on Draper. He did nothing for the whole game, right? Aside from lie on the ball, and then Scott comes out to say that he's playing Anzac Day.
Well,
did you see?
I've got probably two things I want to unpack. He did a lot, Draper, after the siren.
Yeah.
So do we think, because I've got two theories in my own head. One is sort of along similar lines to yours and your sister's, Christina, that his head isn't quite there. I also question how fit he is, because, yeah, I agree he's not a Mensa Society member. That's for sure. But his efforts, you know, he's got form in providing effort. Even in previous seasons, he would have effort at the contest. He'd try, he'd tackle, he'd block. Even when it was, you know, the output was poor. So I guess there's always that possibility. But if we just, for argument's sake, just park that to the side, the fact that, and I know Brian Taylor, again, these players should get paid more for having to endure Brian Taylor at the end of the game. But and I know he stuck a microphone in his face and he wants to visit the family and all that's fine. And then the other bit where he was sort of reenacting his beached whale bit at the end of the game, he obviously wasn't conscious there's a camera there, I don't think. He's just talking to his teammates. But I did feel a little bit that it was a little bit too much Sammy post final siren for a guy who didn't play well. So is it an awareness thing, do we think?
As in an injury awareness?
As in a above the shoulders awareness.
I think it is, yeah. I think from what we've all said, he certainly doesn't think too deeply about the game, right? And he's the most enthusiastic in the group doing the song. He loves all that, right? So I really don't think he thinks too much about it. Now, I don't know whether that's good or bad. It's probably more bad than good.
Well, just throughout the challenge, if anyone could come up with another nomination.
Nope.
What about old mate Hindy? I'm not saying Draper deserves a Henneman. No argument there. But
I was going to ask about Hind. As you know, I don't really remember him doing that much, and we were carrying him and Menzie and whatever for the last few weeks, right?
I remember two things he did, and it's because it kind of causes me great trauma. It's, you know, when he does that thing when he realizes he's got to move quick, so he actually puts his head down.
I know where you're going. I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah, and he looks at his own feet and does the kind of roadrunner running on the spot, and then he takes off. That just gives me that makes me sweat every time I see it, because I don't get it. Like, he knows he's here. He's got to be there. And so instead of looking there and seeing what's going on, he puts his head down and looks at his own feet. And I think he thinks it makes him run faster or something. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't think. Put it this way. If he was the roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote's anvil would hit him on the head.
Every time.
Every time. I don't think he's as quick as he used to be. And, yes, I can't imagine how looking at your own shoelaces, to used to talk about, you know, intelligence of players or brain not connecting with the body. Does he need to look? Oh, that's my feet. They're the ones that need to move so I can start running. I can't see how this is a real quality of an AFL footballer. I've never read any of those pre-season draft draftees discussions and where they talk about players looking at their feet as a positive trait.
He doesn't do it all the time. Well, most of the time he's just running fast like a headless chook. But when he's really out of position and he puts his head down and looks down, it gives me blood pressure.
But I think that's the similarity with Draper. Hindy doesn't think much, and so he just knows that his job is to grab the ball and run. That's about it.
I actually think he had an okay game. He didn't do. I actually think he was okay. It's interesting that they're playing him up forward. I think this podcast's own Fiona made that called for that a few weeks ago or a month ago. Trying him up forward. It's interesting that they're playing him a bit more up forward. I didn't think he was anywhere near the worst or Henneman worthy. Just those looking down at his feet just gives me.
I think having said all that, with whether he should be playing or not, we don't have a lot of other options with the injuries we've got to a few other people right now.
Yeah,
that's probably right. But if Guelphy's fit, he should replace him. If it's a toss of the coin between say Hind and Sartis, I think he'd just play Sartis.
Oh no, I mean, I agree. And then Archie Perkins, but you know, Guelphy and Perkins are injured. That's my point. There's injuries and. Yeah, Sardis has got to start getting a bit more of a go.
He found the ball in the last quarter, Sardis.
He absolutely did, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And he did it quite.
Did he have an assist in the forward line, maybe?
He had one or two very neat little moves.
Yeah.
Again, we'd rather him than Hind, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a neat little mover, in fact.
Mm.
Anything else on the game?
Well, I think it was highway robbery. We got away with it. And
we were the better team for the whole night.
Yeah, but there's two ways to look at it. The other side of the coin is we kick so appallingly.
Yeah.
We ordinarily teams would lose if they kicked that poorly.
Yeah. It would have been robbery had Adelaide won it.
Yeah, true.
All I know is I could literally hear my heart at the end of the game. That's how stressed I was. But looking at the ladder, there we are, squarely and firmly in the eight.
What are we, equal fourth or third or something?
Our percentage is dire. But we are...
That's an understatement.
Yeah, 92.7. The rest are amongst us are well over 100.
We're 48.6% behind Geelong on top.
Yeah, but yes. Who have we played? Like, we played Port. We played some pretty tough teams. Played Sydney.
Well, the Port game punched a hole in the percentage.
Yeah. But yeah, Sydney and Sydney Port in Port.
Yeah, we've been away three times this year already.
And then we're away to West Coast in a few weeks. Of course we are.
Yeah. But
one game off top four at the moment.
That's there right. And going around the grounds, some of our more fancied opponents at the start of the year, who many thought would do much better than us, had some poor games. I just wonder how the vibe is down at St Kilda right now. What do we think?
Well, I think we all know that Ross was never going to win them a premiership, and that chicken is coming home.
I always found that when Ross went to when he first was at St Kilda, he didn't really develop the players, and then he left. Went to Fremantle, the list had been built up. So he did what he did with them, but by the time he finished, their list was in tatters. So I wouldn't call him like a development type of coach.
No, I agree. He's here and now.
Yeah.
Another highly fancied team, Brisbane. I'd love to share.
They're a bunch of downhill skiers. Other than Lachie Neal and maybe one or two others, they are just, they've got a soft underbelly.
Well, actually, the original Judas himself actually played okay. To be fair,
Did he? I didn't see.
They did kick 4 goals, 13, and he contributed 2 points to that. Any other games that take anyone's fancy?
Oh well, you—you—you—I know you're sort of tiptoeing around my Blues getting up.
That was actually a good win. I thought that the Giants were in the box seat, a bit like the Port and Pies game. Port jumped out of the box in that one as well, and I thought, oh, this is good. And then looked an hour later, I was like, holy shit!
Yeah, and sorry, yes, you go.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say. You know, you watch Collingwood beat them, and then after Port beat us. But fortunately, football maths doesn't work that way.
No, we know that.
Nothing else?
The other one was Harley Reid beating Fremantle.
Mm.
Good player.
Oh,
hype is real. What were North thinking late last year when they won that final game of the six?
I saw someone wrote, didn't someone put in the paper today that North won one game out of, I don't know, 24 or something, 20, or 5.
3,000.
And it was and it cost them Harley Reid, that one win that they had.
Did you listen to the podcast last week, Jess?
No.
We made that exact point.
All right.
That won one game in 26. But that's all right.
I was on it for half the podcast, but no, I didn't listen to the rest.
Unbelievable.
Well, I think now Mackay's been involved Okay, he's been involved in more wins than probably, what, 2 or 3 years at North Melbourne?
Yeah, I think the stat was he had like 8 or 10 wins out of about 80 games. Is that right?
Yeah, it was 7 or 8 wins at North, and that's why they were. Yeah, and that's why they were talking about cheering Tom Hawkins off for his 350th game. His brother on their podcast, their own podcast, was giving him shit, saying that they're going to cheer you off for your 10th win.
All right. Now, Douche, we're going to bring back the Douche and Deity this week, and then fuck off. Who's got some Douche or Deity nominations? I've got a Douche nomination.
There you go.
Based on my weekend away, but I want to hear what you guys have first. I asked you to bring one.
Yeah, I've got one.
Good. Thank you, Jez.
I've got a Deity.
Perfect.
Can I do Deity?
Of course. All right.
So, my deity is Debbie Harry from Blondie.
Look at love, anyone's a gas.
That's it. So, on Saturday, I trudged out with my mate to Caribbean Gardens.
My God, that still exists?
To see the Pandemonium Music Festival, which was headlined by Alice Cooper and Blondie.
Oh, okay. Is that where it was?
Hang on. Caribbean Gardens still exists?
Yeah.
Did you stop at Wobby's World on the way? That's very, very retro.
No, we did it. We did our own retro. So we completely stuffed up the shuttle bus bookings and the everything. And it's literally in the middle of nowhere. So we decided to go to the Wheelers Hill Hotel for lunch beforehand, leave the car there, get an Uber down the hill to Caribbean Gardens. And the plan went beautifully until the end when there were 8,000 people trying to get an Uber.
Yes.
So we then realised why Wheeler's Hill is called Wheeler's Hill, because at 11 p.m. we had to walk back up to the Wheeler's Hill Hotel. But no.
So who's the Douche? That you two?
Rock.
Hang on, you cut out. I think you cut out for me, Jez. So last I heard was you going up the hill.
Yeah, no, yeah. So we walked up the hill. That's why we worked out how it was called Wheeler's Hill. But what I was saying was Debbie Harry is 78. She's been an absolute punk rock pop icon since 1975, I think it was. Before that, she was one of Hugh Hefner's Playboy bunnies for 5 or so years. She had a full career there before I was born, not before Correspondent was born. But
what's a full career as a Playboy bunny? What's that entail?
I don't know. 5 years of one of Hugh Hefner's.
Well, you do an internship, and then you. You get some clients, and then you become, you know, maybe a partner, or, you know.
Do you get a set of ears? Is that what happens when you graduate from the internship?
Yeah, totally. You Google it. There's plenty of shots of her with the ears. But she's been obviously cutting edge there'll be plenty of people who listen to this podcast who will never have heard of Blondie or Debbie Harry, I imagine. But she's 78. She's an absolute queen. She's an absolute star. Her voice, not great at 78. But a few of her songs, her voice is still perfect for. And anyway, I just loved it. And seeing her on stage with Glenn Matlock, the old bassist from Sex Pistols, out at Caribbean Gardens, was absolutely magnificent.
Do you reckon that Solution seems to have gone off camera? Do you reckon they thought they were going to the Caribbean? Actually, I think we might have lost the Solution.
I don't know, but look, like, the Caribbean Gardens is not.
His weekend's caught up with him.
It's not. It's off Broadway. It's off Broadway for those types. You know, the Debbie Harry, Alice Cooper types. It's off Broadway, Caribbean Gardens, but they played with gusto. It was great.
Solution, all okay?
Yeah, my audio just crapped it, so I had to get out and come back in.
And Alice Cooper, were there any snakes?
Yes, big boa.
Was there live chickens?
No chickens. But
I've got a very specific, very specific Alice Cooper question.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any hardcore Alice Cooper fans that dressed like him?
Oh, heaps.
Yeah. They heaps. Still exist. They still exist.
Yeah, yeah, heaps. Heaps of all ages too. So some old and also some young for sure, like teenagers.
Do you think it ranks up like, I would say him and maybe Robert Smith from The Cure? They're pretty well up there where people dress up big time, and wouldn't you think?
Yeah, there were plenty. There were heaps. Heaps.
What about anyone dressing up as Blondie?
There was lots of glitter. Yes. There was lots of... There was lots of... Look, it was just a great afternoon. There was a few other bands out there as well, but she took the three votes from me. I thought she was awesome. So, yeah, great afternoon.
Sorry, I missed some of that. Do her vocals hold up?
No. For three songs, they do. There were literally three songs that she knocked out of the park. She's very limited in her voice, but Heart of Glass, Tide is High, and there was another one that I've forgotten. She was just perfect for Still. The others, a little scratchy.
Well, I can't sing now, and I'm a lot younger than her, so.
Did you get in the mosh? Was there a mosh pit, mate?
Not for her, but we did get very close at the front for the Cosmic Psychos, but you don't want to get too close to them, because at the end of every gig, they... Does anyone know?
I've seen them once. I can't remember.
They're their asses.
Okay.
Oh, like we do at the end of this podcast after we hang up. Brilliant. All right. Any douche, good deity? Anyone else got a nomination, either deity or douche?
I was going to give a douche. He's probably got it before, to Elon Musk. I mean, for fuck me, yeah, that's just what he's trying to do, or what he's coming out, what's coming out of his gob with regards to you know, media and what have you, and content, is just madness.
Is this in relation to the Sydney knifings?
No, this is just in relation to just the general... I think he and other platforms have been asked to moderate, obviously, content, you know, forever, and he just rolls out freedom of speech, this, that, and the other. Rather than acknowledging that there's a cesspool of shit that exists online and it's under his watch.
I think there was something on the news today about him defying some directive from some Aussie regulator to remove the Sydney knifings footage from...
Yeah, it's related to that. Yeah, it's, you know, like all the kind of the hate stuff that's going on. And anyway.
Of course, the irony is he'll probably... have done more for climate change than anyone in history at the moment, because he's propagated the electric car, and now all his competitors are trying to follow him. So
he is a living enigma, I think we would say.
Enigma wrapped in a riddle.
Yeah.
He's a weirdo.
Well, he's that too. No others?
We're waiting for your douche.
Yep, okay. Well, this came from... The boys' weekend away. I'm douching the entire town of Baruga. Entire fucking town.
Shout out to all our listeners from Cobram Baruga region.
I was saying not Cobram, just Baruga. Is that fair? Because I'm a bit worried about our Cobram friends.
Yeah, just Baruga, not Cobram. And anyone, look, we know we go far and wide in this big brown land and touch most points within, but yeah, if it was a current affairs segment, they'd call it Australia's unfriendliest town.
Okay, talk us through the three high points or low points.
Four angry locals having a crack. So first day, you know, we've hired a bus, mini bus, whatever you want to call it. Parked the bus in the car park of this very large car park behind the golf course. And we go and get the buggies first that are part of the package, and then go load the
slabs.
Yeah, load the slabs on the sly into the golf bags, which then go on the carts, because you're not meant to take alcohol in the into the course, but we did. But anyway, this woman out of nowhere, you know the classic Karen that you see on, archetypal Karen that you might see on YouTube? This woman drives past and starts yelling at us to move our carts in. You know, we're taking up too much space. There's heaps of room. Then she parks a car. Then she comes up and starts lecturing us on respect. And I think if it wasn't for the fact, there's like about seven middle-aged men looking down on this tiny little woman lecturing us on respect. I think we're all just shocked with our hangovers, too shocked to actually respond. So that was incident one. Incident two, and this I was a spectator on this. I saw this guy in a wheelchair was crossing the road and just started abusing a car that had stopped for him. The car had stopped for him to let him go, and he was abusing him, telling him he's too close, and started swearing at him. Friggin' hilarious. Then there's the complex next to the golf course, which is one of these horrible, you know, there's like gaming, there's alcohol, there's really bad food, but very convenient.
Like something you'd see in Caribbean Gardens.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Nowhere near as good as the Wheelers Hill pub. But the one of my friends got accosted for not having his, we had to, you know, get the membership before you go in, like a lot of these places. He's getting accosted for not having a membership card, even though he had one. And then finally, I got abused by this woman. Now, to be fair, I was doing Tokyo Drift with my golf cart. So, you know, it's on the sand how you can, like, if you hit the brake really hard and then spin the wheel and then accelerate again, you get that drift. Okay, I live in Reservoir, right? Don't judge me. But she let me have it as well. So it was just argument after argument after argument. Baruga, you are the most unfriendly city, town, I should say, in Australia. So you are the douche.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Anyway,
arguments? I believe I've been to that same golf club. And if there's, are there two golf courses at the golf club?
Yeah, one's
really shit and one's really good.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, we got punted onto the shit one. And then came back to the clubhouse, and there's a bit of a veranda looks out over, you know, we're like, fuck, look at this course. And then going in, we had the same issue. You have to get the fucking cards, and we're like, Jesus Christ, this is so hard.
Yeah, that's right. I said to my mate who he walked all the way from our accommodation, left his card, said, mate, you're not going to get into the Reichstag where you can't. You never have to go back. We started calling it the Reichstag after that, but it really was Nazi Germany. But yeah, strange place. But anyway, I digress.
Cross that one off our end of season windsock trip list.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we won't be welcome, that's for sure. Next week, not next week, this week.
This week.
In a few days. What do we reckon?
I just need to ask a question. Jez, you're in the committee room, I take it?
No.
It's our home game solution.
Yes, I'm not going, though, unfortunately.
No, I'm
not. Anyone here going? Ticket. You got a ticket, Christina? Well done. Jez, well done. Well, Christina, you start. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, one small thing is in our favour, that Collingwood has one less day to recover. So they played on Saturday, mm-hmm. We played on Friday. So they might be a little bit more tired than us. It's going to be tight. I don't know. I
think I'm getting worried already.
I know. Already. But if you look at history, from Anzac Day, it's Essendon win, then three losses in a row. Essendon win, three losses in a row. We've had our three losses in a row. It's now time for a win.
I
This is like the whole history of Anzac Day. It's followed this whole thing.
Yeah, so, and
this is our year for the win.
It's called the Fakanachi sequence. That it's the worst sequence.
Yeah, it's shocking.
In all of mathematics. So what's your prediction? Predicting a win then?
Maybe by a couple of points. Not a confident win.
You know, I wasn't quick enough. I meant to say Fakas Hardski sequence, and I think something else came out. It has been a long weekend. What do you think, correspondent?
Mate, I think as much as I'd like us to have a win, I think we'll put up a decent fight and probably go down by 20.
Any just Collingwood being too good? You think they're coming good at the right time?
I think. Well, they've won three on the trot. We've won two on the trot for the first time since last year, and that two on the trot last year was the Eagles and North. And let's remember they touched us up big time at the end of last game.
I've forgotten about that. I was thinking about Anzac Day and how close it was, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, I think we'll put up a good showing. And look, if we, as you said earlier, mate, if we crack in tackle like we have been over the last few weeks, then as I said, it'll be a good contest.
Jeremy.
I'm worried about the rain. They're predicting quite a bit of rain.
I just had a look at that, yeah.
We're never good in the rain, and I've got no idea what to make of Scott's comments if he's planning on playing the two ruckmen and Peter Wright and Harry in the rain.
Yeah.
Then I think that's misguided.
I think he's kind of steering Collingwood in the wrong direction, because after such a short break, they're not going to know who's going to be fit enough to play till the day with the short turnaround. So I dare say there'll be changes even when they put the team up.
I agree entirely. And I think the solution is staring us in the face. It's Goldstein's how old? 37?
Mm-hmm.
It's been as good as he's been. 4-day turnaround.
I was going to say that.
He's the player that makes logical sense to rest. We need him. We want him to, you know, be able to contribute all year, and there's no point flogging an old horse right now.
But mate, I agree with that. I was going to say that. I think, though, that here's a chance for him to play in front of more people than he's played in front of in a collective season.
Look, he played in that final where we lost at the G all those years ago. Like,
when was that? 1971.
It would be so harsh. I mean, I get it if his body's not right and they need to rest him. But there's no way that Drapes is rucking anywhere near as good as Goldie at the moment. Goldie's all over him. And sure, Goldie doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who needs a break. He's looking pretty good, I reckon. But to manage him out of this one would be a really, really tough call.
It doesn't make sense as a solution saying that. It would be an obvious call, but tough call, right?
Yeah, well, it's all about his body. I think, as Christina said, if he's not right, then, you know, pull him out and it's fine. But if he's right and you drop him and throw Drapes into the middle, that doesn't do it for me. I think we're going to lose. I think Collingwood's back. I think we'll lose by 11 points.
So, hey, solution, if it's raining sideways at 11 a.m., do they play Peter Wright? Over Harry Jones and, you know, the existing forward line.
Oh, Harry Jones. Harry Jones plays.
He's so
good. Yeah, and he's playing. He's been good below his knees. Good below his
ankles.
ankles. Yeah, he's been great.
Yeah, no, he's safe.
I don't dispute that. Yeah, but I just wonder about Peter Wright having not played. You know, does he come back in automatically, and who for?
I think he does come back in. Yeah, I think it'll be Goldstein that's dropped. But so I'm strangely positive. It's really a credit to Dodoro. We got to give him credit, and then we need to give, you know, the current coaching staff headed by Brad Scott tremendous credit as well. We've turned Caldwell and Durham into A-grade midfielders. Yeah. And I know it's a small sample size. Caldwell's been building. Body's getting stronger and fitter after many years of injuries. Durham come out of nowhere. But then you throw Martin, who's obviously not playing in the middle, but sort of playing that particular role of half-back. But suddenly our midfield's got tremendous amount of depth that we didn't think it had.
One more out there?
Yeah, go.
Speculation that Dylan Scheel is available after playing a couple of games in the twos.
Apparently he was superb last week.
He'd be a pretty interesting sub.
Well, he'd be better than Hindy.
Yeah. I read that he sort of did all right till half time, and then he was kind of sucking in the deep breaths in the second half. So he had 20 possessions in the first half, and then only like four or something in the second half. So
I think they might have said
fitness.
No, I think they might have said go your hardest, have a crack, get in, and then manage him more. That's possibly what happened.
So anyway, I reckon we've got depth. I reckon in through the middle, which will be important, particularly if it is wet. I think our forwards will kick better. Have to kick better than they did. We have to convert better than we did last week.
We have to mark. That was one of our lowest marking games against Adelaide in like quite a number of years.
Yeah, although if it's wet weather footy, I mean, it's not going to be a marking sort of game. But again, and then if it is wet, our tackling will be a tremendous asset in those kind of conditions.
Mm.
So I'm feeling strangely positive. That said, I'm going Collingwood 40 points. Sorry, we just don't win Anzac Days.
Well, if we don't win them, and if we get our heart ripped out on Anzac Days, I know that.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Any other comments before we close? Any comments on the game, I mean?
No.
Who? I've got a question. Who gets Bobby Hill, do you think? Is it Jake, Kelly, or McGrath?
Probably, maybe McGrath, or it's interesting because they haven't got a big forward line, right? So
Elliot and Hill,
so
McGrath and Kelly.
Perhaps they share, they swap between the two.
I think I like McGrath, just is a bit quicker. So maybe him on Hill makes sense. But Kelly, that's Kelly's best when he's shutting down someone.
Yeah.
That's his asset to our team. So I'm sure he'll have a role.
I think as we know as much about what we're going to do to stop their ball movement with, Dacos, et cetera.
Oh, that'll be cool, wouldn't it? Or Durham.
Well, yeah. And it depends whether he starts in the middle or comes off halfback, and how we utilise either Durham or Caldwell as a stopper. But yeah, it'll be interesting. So I think looking forward to watching it on the TV at the pub.
Same here. Now, moving to the song of the week. I didn't do a song this week. However, I was going to do a song. If I had had time, I would have done one about Adelaide. I was thinking Bob Marley, No Woman, No Cry. Do something about Adelaide crying. Might have been good. What other songs about crying? About the Tears for Fears song, I guess.
The one, you did a bad, bad thing. You did a bad, bad thing.
Yeah, that's not bad. That would have been good. That would have been good.
I feel like crying.
Well, Arnie Merle nearly came out for a moment then.
Yeah, not quite. Held back. Held back, saving myself.
But anyway, I've got an omen. There's an omen here in the Song of the Week. Funnily enough, I found some of the old songs, and I did a song. It was probably two Anzac Day Essendon wins ago, and it was raining and it was wet, and we won the game. So I did a song called I've seen dry and I've seen rain. You know that song?
Is that John Denver?
No, it's not John Denver. It's bloody See, my brain is not working. My brain really has shut down. James Taylor. James Taylor.
Oh, who's been touring recently?
Yes, there you go. Speaking of retro. Anyway, I did a song called I've Seen Dry and I've Seen Rain about Essendon beating Collingwood in the rain on Anzac Day. It happened. So maybe history's going to repeat. Maybe the sequence will continue.
Well, it is the 15-year anniversary of In the Rain.
In the Rain. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, what a game that was.
So, I was thinking more Eddie Rabbit, I Love a Rainy Night, but I can't stand the rain.
Actually, Raining by Dragon is probably the best one.
Yeah, Rain by Dragon
is
probably
the best. Is it any wonder? Oh, I could wheel that out if we win. But anyway, that'll be the song. It'll be a retro one.
Our podcast is a bit more like Blame It on the Rain by Milli Vanilli, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good, mate. That's good.
I maintain that's a good song.
It is a good song.
I was going to go with It's Raining Men.
And it's got that classic, like Acer Bass had it in The Sign. It's got that classic key change halfway through the song. It's just perfect. All right, well, we'll see. But anyway, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake, our sponsor. We'll squeeze in a forecast before the game.
Ooh.
At some point. So
you'll need to allow a little bit of extra time for that solution, because I think Fiona will be coming off the long run about the 1 week suspension for Toby Green versus the 4 week suspension to her ginger man.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Maybe the AFL Tribunal should be douche of the week. On reflection.
They're douche every week, really.
But really, did they go in and
challenges tomorrow?
Okay. Yeah. See, well,
yeah. They're going to use the good bloke defence.
Did they wave the white flag like we did?
No, they're going in hard.
Do we don't appeal anything ever, do we?
Then again, I said this last week on the sly, on the quiet, umpiring reparations for all those years of penalty. Yeah. We had another good week.
Oh, very good.
That's true. That's true.
It's like, maybe the strategy's working.
Yeah.
Maybe Brad's got like lots of saved files from AFL House when he worked there.
So I said, I tell you what, I'm thinking of packing in this podcast completely. I said last week on the podcast, he's got HR files. And so you didn't listen either, Christina. I'm fucking over this.
I just don't remember everything. You're going out. You got stuff.
Christina, blame the anaesthetic. Just blame the anaesthetic.
Okay, good. We had 500. We had about 500 listens last week at the podcast. And
nice.
Yeah, how many were yours?
I listen back when I pull a thing together.
Because you have to, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I count for one. We had about 500 listens. None of them podcast members. I'm going to go to competitive tender for podcast members at the end of this season, I think. I'm going to do a thorough review. We'll pull in a consultancy firm, top to bottom, apart from me.
I'm our only Patreon member.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm dumb enough. Good. I'm dumb enough to pay for this shit.
Yeah. Anyway, well, on that note, on that sour note, Christina, thank you. I'd like to thank everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake. Like and subscribe. Get onto the YouTube channel. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. And we'll see you next week.
Yep. Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.
Just Anzac Day morning, they told me it was wet. Essendon, the old game plan just will not do. I walked out this morning and I wrote down Kiglong. I don't think we'll overpossess like against the Blues. Oh, I've seen dry and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days when I thought that we would win. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always knew that we wouldn't play dumb wet weather football again. Won't you look upon us, Jesus? You gotta help us take a stand. Overpossess again, and we're sure to lose. Let's not insist on trying to move it by hand. And we'll play much better than against the Blues. Oh, well, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days when I thought that we would win. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always knew that we wouldn't play dumb wet weather football again. Yes, we won on Anzac Day. What a great win.